The search for planets beyond our solar system is being made easier all the time, thanks to new technology and building on what preceded it. Let's go hunting with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, where are we going?
We're starting with a new survey instrument, the Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite, TESS is the name that's used for this, that was launched in April. And this particular survey is in our solar system, but it's looking out beyond our solar system. It's looking at this portion of our galaxy, the Milky Way, and whereas its predecessor, Kepler, looked at a very, very small section of the sky about 3,000 light years away, this one is actually looking at a much larger area. It's looking at some 200,000 stars in a hunt for more extrasolar planets.
Fishing in the ocean rather than a pond.
Yes, and in doing so, the idea is that this opens up the possibility, of course, that it could find more planets that are like our size, Earth-sized planets.
Is the state of the art and science such that planets can be seen yet outside of our solar system, or is it still inferential evidence?
Well, we're really right on the cusp of being able to directly image planets orbiting other stars. Right now, it's still inferential work. This particular instrument looks for a drop in the light output from that star as an indication that something is passing in front of that star. And the most likely object that would be passing in front would be a planet. And of course, the idea is to look and see if that light drop-off is periodic, happens on a regular basis, and is the same intensity, or that a pattern can be seen of how the light drops off, which could indicate that there's more than one planet.
Above and beyond the transit, though, can anything be gleaned about the atmosphere on the planet or whether there's water on the planet or little green people there?
It's really interesting that you said that because this is a survey instrument. So the intent of this is to do a much broader look at things, a broad brush look, collecting evidence that would then provide a list of candidates that deserve even closer examination. That closer examination will be done by the James Webb Space Telescope once it gets launched, and it will have the ability to bring us even greater detail about some of these planets. For example, do they have atmospheres? Perhaps what kind of atmospheres do they have? Can we say anything about the possibility that they could house environments where life might develop?
So TESS will hand off to the James Webb, but TESS in turn got a lot of its information from the Gaia Project map. Explain.
Yes, indeed. The Gaia Project was a sky survey project that was conducted by the European Space Agency. It created a catalog that contains the positions, distances, motions, brightness, and colors of more than 1.3 billion stars. 1.3 billion stars. It collected all that information. It also provides the surface temperatures for about 100 million stars. You ready for that? And the effect of interstellar dust, the dimming of that light from those stars, on 87 million stars. That's a tremendous amount of data. Just a tremendous amount of data.
What percentage of the entire Milky Way does that 1.3 billion represent?
So let's look at it this way. If a galaxy seems to be comprised of somewhere between 300 billion and 400 billion stars, then we're talking about just a tiny bit over 1% maybe. So not many, but far more than we ever have been able to survey in the past. You know, if we look back into the past, we can see that surveys from the 1950s couldn't see anywhere near as much of the sky or collect anywhere near as much information. In fact, the National Geographic Palomar Sky Survey from the 1950s took images of the sky on 2,014 inch glass plates in a 48 inch telescope that was located in Arizona. Well, that couldn't collect anywhere near the kind of data that the Gaia survey could collect, partially because Gaia is a satellite that sits out in space about 1 million miles from Earth and therefore doesn't have the Earth blocking its view of the Milky Way. But all of the digital technologies available to Gaia allowed it to collect all of this information that has now been transferred into a catalog and also into a 3D image of the Milky Way that is absolutely stunning to see.
Derek, we have a moment left. What's available to be seen in the night sky this week?
You know, those wonderful planets that we've been observing all summer are still really commanding the evening sky. Venus way over on the western horizon just after sunset, moving back toward the east. Again, it's Jupiter, then coming a little further to the east, it's Saturn. And Mars is now up well in the evening sky by 10 p.m., and it looks great in a telescope. The moon is actually near Saturn tonight, and it will be close to Mars on Wednesday night. If you have a chance to see Mars through a telescope anywhere at any time this summer, you really should do it because Mars looks absolutely fabulous in a telescope.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight.